Good evening. I hope everyone's doing well. I know that we're going to be low in attendance tonight because of the weather out there, the nastiness, and the fact that Sandra is homesick, so there's no choir practice. But thank you for being here. And we will begin looking at... we'll be finishing chapter 3 tonight in Daniel. So if you would join me in prayer as we begin our time together. Dear Lord, thank you for everything that you've done. Dear Lord, just ask you to be with those that are sick. Be with those that are working with the children and youth down in the youth building. Dear Lord, be with Chad. And dear Lord, just be with us as we study this. The rest of Daniel chapter 3, that you'll speak to us, dear Lord, that you'll have us understand exactly what it means to have the faith to face death. Dear Lord, bless this time that we have together, and it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to pick up where Kel left off last week. He finished up with verse 18. So we're going to pick up in verse 19. But before we do that, just to run through what's happened so far. King Nebuchadnezzar set up the golden idol and commanded that everybody bow down and worship that image of him. And so when the music played, thousands upon thousands of people fell to their knees worshiping this idol. And then this group of people went running to the king, and what did they tell him? Three of these Hebrews have not bent their knee. King asked them, is this true? They say, yes. And then he is furious and he says, listen, this is your last chance. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, King, we don't have to answer you in this question because the God we serve is able to save us. And even if he doesn't save us, we're still not bowing down and worshiping your idols. I've heard it said that they said, either way, King, we win, you lose. Not what you want to say to somebody that's got a temper like Nebuchadnezzar had. But that's where we're picking up. Now look at what this says here in verses 19 through 23. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their cloths or clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. So, I heard a comedian once, and it's a comedian that has fallen out of favor. But this comedian said that his mother had a conniption. And he explained what a conniption was. that his mother's facial features changed. And the skin split and fell off of her face, and fire shot from her eyes. Okay? So that's what I am picturing here. And I know when I'm dealing with my teenage kids that I can feel it start rising up in me. And I can feel the heat coming off of my bald head. And I know that I am glaring at them. I can imagine that's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. He's talking to them. And then when they answered him and said, "No, we're not doing this," he was furious. Furious to the point where it says that his facial expression changed. And it altered what he was doing. And he was so angry that he gave the order to heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than it normally was. So hot to the point that it killed the men, his mighty warriors, that were throwing them in the furnace. It killed them. He did, out of his anger. And it wasn't that they weren't being... The other day, something happened with my smoker. I've got a pellet smoker. It wouldn't light correctly. And I kept filling it up with pellets, trying to get it to light. Well, when it finally lit, there were more pellets in that hopper than needed, or in the burn box than needed to be there. And instead of being 225 degrees, it jumped up to almost 900 degrees in my smoker because of the flames. And it got so hot that it caught all the other stuff, the grease and everything else, on fire. So my smoker is just one big old fire thing. And it burned up my igniter, so now I have to replace the igniter to get it to work again. But it was hot. I couldn't even get close to the flames because of the heat that was coming off of it. So these guys, before they were getting close enough to push them in, they were dropping dead as they pushed them in. The fire didn't even touch them. It was just the heat that killed them. And can you imagine it's difficult to stand up against authority in the first place, isn't it? But can you imagine the intimidation that was going on and how intimidating it must have been for these three young men to stand before the king being threatened with death? And they still wouldn't bow. And it says that they were tied up. They weren't stripped. They weren't nothing special. They were tied up just as they were, with their clothes, with everything they had on, and they were thrown in the furnace. The whole idea is that they were wanting them to burn and burn quickly. He was done with them. He expected this to be their end. And he wanted it over with as quickly as he basically, get out of my sight. You're dead. I'm not going to look at you again. That's pretty much the attitude Nebuchadnezzar had. Now look at verse 24 and 25. They were cast into the fiery furnace, their hands tied, their body tied, and they were thrown in there. And it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, 'Was it not 3 men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?' They replied to the king, 'Certainly, O king.' He said, 'Look, I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods.'" Now, the King James Version says son of God. And we'll talk about that here in just a second, because I did look up the wording in the Hebrew. Not that I can speak it, but I looked it up. Think about this. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded. It would have been astonishing that anybody would have been able to survive just for a second in this furnace, especially since his valiant men, his warriors, had dropped dead just getting close to it. So he was surprised. He was shocked. He was amazed. I guess a good Southern word, he was flabbergasted. Okay, you guys understand. Now here's the thing, the Septuagint is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. Okay? Earlier than the King James Version. The Septuagint, now listen to this. This is some good stuff here. The Septuagint says that Nebuchadnezzar's attention was caught when he heard the men singing praises in the furnace. Can you imagine that? That King Nebuchadnezzar gets up, he's like, that's done, and he's like this, and he walks around and he freezes in his tracks because he hears singing coming from the fire. And that catches his attention, and he turns around and he sees four men walking around in the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar literally had no intention to even thinking twice or even looking twice at this fire. It had been so hot that he did not expect anybody to survive. He had no reason to even watch. They should have been gone just like that. But as he's walking away, if this is true, that he heard singing, it is just like what Paul and Silas did in the Philippian jail. See, look at Acts 16:25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What happened next? There in Acts, there was a great earthquake. The prison doors slung open. And now remember, where were they here in the Philippian prison or Philippian jail? They weren't just locked up there in some cell. They were in the innermost part. They were chained up under penalty of death. The jailer was given charge over them, and if any of his prisoners had escaped, he would have been killed. So he goes running in there and sees the damage and expects all the prisoners to do what anybody that had been locked up would have normally done, and that was to take off. And he starts to fall on his sword, and Paul yells out, "Don't harm yourself, we're all still here." Now, two things. One, I honestly believe, because it says the prisoners were all listening to them, hearing praises sung to God had an impact on those that were hearing it. And they stayed put. Here in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stayed put. They were walking loose. Now, I see four men loosed, and the appearance of the force is like the Son of God. This word that's used here in the Hebrew can actually be referring, it's not it's not Yahweh or Yahweh. It is a word that can be seen as being referring to God of Israel, but it can also be seen as being applied to pagan gods. So it's really, but at the same time, we have to understand this, is that Nebuchadnezzar, other than his dealings with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, his belief was not in Yahweh. So he would not have recognized the Son of God. But he recognized something about this fourth man that was not what he expected. He saw something different about him. But I don't think that he honestly recognized him as being the Son of God. And in fact, later on, he refers to him as an angel, which we've always been, I've shared this many times in the Old Testament, when you see the angel of the Lord, that's referring to Jesus Christ. It's not a angel, it's the angel, or his angel. Okay? So, and again, you guys know I love Spurgeon. But look at what this says. Spurgeon observed that God's people are often in the furnace. And though there are different kinds of furnaces, they serve similar purposes in our lives. And he points out, he said, there's a furnace that man prepares. The furnace that, oh, I put that twice, that's three times, okay? The very important part. It's actually the furnace that man prepares, furnace that God prepares, and a furnace that Satan prepares. But here's the thing. God is always with us. Jesus is always with us, regardless of what furnace we go through. And we know for a fact that God can use us despite ourselves. God uses the fire to refine us. And God takes what Satan meant to destroy us and turns it into a blessing. They all serve similar purposes in our lives. I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire. The fire that was meant to kill them, all it did was burn away what was holding them. Now think about that. All it did was burn away what was holding them. Good example of the furnace that God puts in our lives. All it does is burn away what is keeping us, holding us back. Okay, look at verses 26 through 27. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. Now, understand this. When I read that, I am imagining he walks up to that door and yells in. That's not what he did because of how hot this furnace was burning. What he did is that he was a safe distance away and he yells into it. He yells into it. And he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, your servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on their bodies of these men, nor were the hair on their heads singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. A couple of things to notice here. Before they were ever even out of the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged their God. What does he call them? The servants, you servants of the Most High God, or God Most High. He recognized these men, and he recognized that they served a really big God. Well, he may have. I know that he gave God the praise when he interpreted his dream. And Daniel was there. He was, I don't know where he was in this story, but you know Daniel lived his life where King Nebuchadnezzar knew where he stood and knew who he worshipped. Oh, yeah. Well, especially with the interpretation of the dream. Yeah. Yeah. Well, God did something twice now. None of his people could tell him what he dreamed or interpret the dream without even knowing what the dream was. Daniel was able to do that because of the power of his God. Now, these men that worship these false gods died before they even got into the close to the fire, but these three men that were thrown into the fire that worshiped the same God that Daniel did were walking around, and the only thing that burned up was the ropes. Now think about this. You know, I told you about that. Imagine this. They come out of the fire. They just walk right out of the fire. And all of a sudden, all these leaders, including the king, they're surrounding them and they're just looking at them and they're examining them and they're looking all over. And I can't even light my grill without singeing hair on my arm. What do you think I smelled like when my smoker went up the other day like that? I'm not allowed in the house. I have to change clothes and take a shower because I smell like smoke. When I am smoking meat and stuff, I wear my old overalls because there's black stuff that gets all over me. None of that was true. These men were walking around in the flames where those ropes burn off of them. There was no singed hair. There was no damage to their clothes. And they didn't even smell like the fire. You guys ever been to a bonfire? What do you smell like when you're done at that bonfire? Smoke. Not so here. And that's just from sitting outside the fire. These guys were walking around in the fire. No effect on their bodies, no effect on their clothes, nothing.
Hey, Artie.
Yes, sir.
We've had fire pits in our house, like burning roach and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It was so hot that it actually cracked the boulders that we have around our fire pit.
Yeah.
That's how hot it was. Imagine what they could have done to their bodies.
Yeah. It's like... Look at John 16:33. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Can you imagine the stories that these three guys could tell? You imagine what when they got back to Daniel, what they told him? You're never going to believe who I just met and how I met him. They got to walk and talk with Jesus. Can you imagine that? They walked and talked with Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Now here's something, and I to be honest with you, I'm not sure exactly, but this is just for something that you think about. This writer that wrote this commentary that we're using the notes from or getting the notes from, it says, the whole account illustrates perhaps serving as a type of the future of Israel during the Great Tribulation. And look at these points. It says, Nebuchadnezzar is like the Antichrist who forces the whole world into one religion of idolatry. Nebuchadnezzar's image is like the image described in Revelation 13 that the whole world will be commanded to worship. The fiery furnace is like the great tribulation, which will be great affliction for the Jews. The Hebrew men are like Israel, who will be preserved through tribulation. The executioners who perished are those in league with the Antichrist who Jesus will slay at his return. And the mysteriously absent Daniel is like the church, not even present for this time of the great tribulation. I don't know. But I just wanted to share that with you as this being this commentary writer's viewpoint on that. But let's look at the aftermath on verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, not by his proper name. He's not recognizing God as being God, Yahweh, but the God of. Remember, there was a similar thing in Acts where they said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. No relationship there. But they acknowledged the fact that there was a Jesus, but there was no acknowledgement of the power of Jesus. No intimacy. Yes. And remember, when God gave Moses at the burning bush his name, he said, you're going to know me in a whole new way than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew me. You're going to know me more intimately. So it says, who has sent, here it is, his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. So here's the thing. Nebuchadnezzar gave glory to God, but he did not do it in a way of worshiping God. He acknowledged how great Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God was. He acknowledged him. Now, think about this. In verse 15, when he's angry and he's trying to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he tells them he's going to throw them in the fiery furnace. He asks them, who is the God I just lost my place. I got to find it. Hang on, I'm sorry. Okay, I got it. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Who is the God that will deliver you from my hands? And he says, this God who sent his angels and delivered his servants who put their trust in him. It was just a matter of verses ago in this story that he's like, yeah, what God can do this? Well, now he understands what God can do that. He says, Nebuchadnezzar at this point is learning and knew a great deal about this God. He is the God of the Hebrews, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He is the God who sends a Savior. He sent His angel. He is the God who, of great power, He delivered His servants. He is the God worthy of trust who trusted in Him. They trusted in Him. They put their trust in Him. And He is a God worthy of full surrender, frustrated the king's word, and yielded their body. He is the God who demands exclusive allegiance, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Nebuchadnezzar knew a lot about this God, knew a lot about God, but he did not yet know Him personally. Notice what I just said. He did not yet know Him personally. If you remember reading in Daniel, there's going to come a time where God gets Nebuchadnezzar's attention once and for all. So, but they yielded up their bodies. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego surrendered themselves completely to God, body, soul, and spirit. Now think about what Paul writes in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. What does God expect from us? Everything. What should we be willing to give God? Everything. Okay? Now look at verses 29 through 30. Nebuchadnezzar makes this proclamation. He says, therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. Understand what he said here. He did not declare in this decree that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was the God, did he? He didn't. They had such an impact on him that at this point, he acknowledged the fact that no other God can deliver like their God, like the God. There was a difference. He was starting to see, even though he didn't understand, even though he didn't believe fully, he was starting to see that there is a difference between his gods and the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a definite difference. And his decree was not declaring him as being the one worthy of worship, but his decree was that no one can say anything bad. And if you talk offensively about their God, you're going to be torn from limb, your houses are going to be destroyed. You know, he didn't play. When he told them to do something, there were some harsh penalties that went along with not doing what he said. Yeah.
The interesting thing is that he did not yet know him. That he did not yet know God. So in Ezekiel and Jeremiah, it says that part of the test is the Lord.
Yeah.
So he was, the Lord was always declared that he would be used. He already told Ezekiel that, he already told Jeremiah that. I'm using him. He's mine. He's already mine.
And you would think that in Daniel's interpretation of the dream that God gave him, he told him, you've been given a glimpse of the future in this dream. God has given this to you. And he explained to him and told him how great and everything else. And all he took from that was, I'm the head of gold. And he sets up this image of gold. So God, yeah, we can look back and see God looking, and even Nebuchadnezzar, I think, when everything's done and said, he can look back and see the influence of God and how God had worked in his life to get him, obviously. I mean, we can too. Yeah. This he doesn't acknowledge that he is God Almighty, but he says nobody's going to talk bad about him. Yes, he does protect them. He causes them to prosper. And then again, with the whole thing with the lion's den, all those men that tricked him, or and got Daniel to, you know, turn Daniel in for praying. It's the same thing. These kings are starting to acknowledge the fact that God is God. And they're just not all the way there yet. And then there's one last verse, 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. There is no other God like our God. No other God like our God. Any questions or comments about chapter 3? Okay, well, next week, we will get into chapter 4 and another vision. Daniel is full of visions and interpretations. So we're going to be getting into that another vision in chapter 4. And let's pray to end our Bible study time before we go into our time of prayer. So let's pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us, dear Lord. Thank you for what we see written and the encouragement that we find in Daniel and in this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their willingness to sacrifice themselves to serve you. Dear Lord, may we have that same faith that we are willing to sacrifice ourselves in your service. Bless this time that we have together. Be with us as we go from this place. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. You all have.